Well, hello.
Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and happy Thursday. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio, and obviously I'm so excited to get into today's topic that I just jumped all over the intro. But, you know, stuff like that happens. You get the energy to, you know, really get something out there, and, you know, heck, damn the torpedoes and full speed ahead. So, for our friends down in the L.A. area, the guest calling number is 424-258-9337. And the guest call-in number for everywhere else, including here in beautiful San Jose, California, is 877-697-9725. So today we are talking about passing the torch. And what I mean by that in this, you know, post-Olympics sort of world we're living in, the idea that, you know, in a relay race, you know, you don't win if you don't pass the baton. And the thought that what we go through, what we learn, what we put together in our lives, what we experience is something that isn't just for us. This is for, you know, all of those who come after us. And the Native American tradition speaks of for the next seven generations. And often you'll hear that phrase. And in fact, that's the title of a movie that was put together by one of my teachers and very dear friends, a woman named Jyoti, who is involved in the 13 Indigenous Grandmothers Project. And what it is a gathering of 13 grandmothers from all over the world, from Indigenous peoples all over the world. And they actually went to the United Nations and they said, you know what, something needs to change. We need to take care of those who come after us. So when we talk about for the next seven generations, it's the idea that what you put out into the world, the choices you make, the decisions that you make, are all things that you consider what is the effect for the next seven generations. So I was thinking about that. And as a mother who has turned her sons loose into the world, and just as someone who, you know, I'm a teacher, so I've seen students come into my life and, you know, some students who go out and find their own way and move forward. And in all those cases, I feel a sense of responsibility because part of what they carry is part of what I gave them. And I want them to do well. I want my sons to do better and achieve more than I ever achieved. I want my students to surpass me and to move in that place of their own, not just being in balance, but thriving in that balanced place and moving into whatever it is that their spiritual path leads them to. I do not want anyone following my path because I want everybody to find their own, because I had to find my own. And I know that there were those who passed the torch on to me. I know that there were those in my life, my parents, my siblings, aunts, uncles, people who I looked up to, who helped me move forward and step up into the being that I am so that I could help those who came after. And there's a wonderful poem that is about a man who is able to cross, you know, this big ravine. And then he goes back and he begins building a bridge. And someone comes up and they say, well, you already crossed it. Why is it that you are building this bridge when you can already cross it. He said, the bridge is not for me. The bridge is for those who come after. And I find that so wonderful because, yes, we go through a lot of work. We go through the transformations and the learnings and all of that stuff that, you know, we use to move ourselves into a place of greater enlightenment, greater tranquility, whatever it is our goal is. And when we go through that and we achieve, while part of it is for us, there's a big part that has to do with suddenly taking on the responsibility for those who come after, to be that hand, you know, as we climb the mountain, to reach back and grab the hand of somebody else who, you know, maybe isn't so, you know, certain in their steps, and to help them move forward. It's about finding our own paths, that's true. But it's also about utilizing the tools that we learn to help others. And it can be as large or as small of an issue as, you know, as we choose it to be. It could be as simple as, you know, letting a child know the correct way to cross the street. Because you know what will happen if they cross improperly, but, you know, at a young age, a child may not. So we pass on that wisdom. And it may not seem like a big deal, but it allows them to become empowered. It allows them to step forward and not have to be in fear, for them to be able to say, wow, I know when it would be safe. I know what to look for. I know what I need to pay attention to. And so when I do cross, I can cross with confidence. And we all remember, you know, when we were little being asked, you know, it's like, okay, you know, how do you cross the street safely? You look to the right, you look to the left, and, you know, you look, or what is it? You look to the left, the right, and then the left again. And, you know, if the cars are coming up, you know that you have to wait. And, you know, but if you're waiting there and if everything's clear, that's when you can go ahead and be confident. And that really is, you know, just, you know, in some ways it's a metaphor for our entire lives. It's a metaphor for being able to feel empowered enough to have choice. You choose the point when it's safe to cross the street. And if anybody out there has ever seen high school students crossing a street, or even some adults crossing a street, it's like, wow, I guess you forgot that lesson about looking both ways, about making eye contact with the driver, and making that very important because, well, we get into a rush and we have to, you know, we want to move on, and by golly, they should stop in our way anyway. You know, they shouldn't be out, you know, I have the right of way, doggone it. Well, yes, and that is not a big help when you're sitting in an emergency room, that what I should have had the right of way. We all have those points where what should have happened is not what happens. And even that allows us to gain in wisdom. It allows us to pay attention. So when we talk about taking our life experiences and allowing someone else to be able to benefit from what it was that we went through. I have a spiritual belief that when I pass out of this life, that I am going to be able to take all of the things that I went through, all of the pain, all of the joys, everything that I gained wisdom through, and I get to make that a gift to the universe. I get to make that my contribution to the whole universe becoming a little bit wiser. And I was talking to somebody, and she goes, well, wouldn't you want to live forever? And I thought, God, no. And she looked at me confused. And I explained to her, you know, that I have this belief that when I die, that everything I endured, you know, especially the hard stuff, the wisdom that I gain from it becomes a part of the universe. And if I were to live forever, if I never had the opportunity to give that knowledge, you know, in from my spirit to the rest of the universe, then I would have suffered it for nothing. It's very easy to want to be able to be the guru on the mountain and to be able to be surrounded by nature, and you sit and you meditate and you get wiser and wiser and wiser and wiser until you're enlightened. I mean, that's a really cool story. And I think for a while it'd be a lot of fun. And at some point, when you get whatever it is that you were looking for, if you don't bring it back to the people, if you don't bring it back and bring it into the world, what's the point? That you learned it and no one else gets to share in that? We're all connected as beings. And everything we went through, everything that we've endured, everything that we've survived, that doesn't just belong to us. It belongs to everyone. You know, the illusion that we're separate beings. We're all energy. And in any way that we can help bring someone else forward, even if it's just to be able to look into someone's eyes and say, I understand. Because what you're doing is you're allowing what you went through to enable them to understand, one, that they're not alone, and two, that there is someone who survived it. And I tell people, if I can endure it, so can you. There's nothing special about me. No special magic, you know, or say nothing more special than what the way that everyone else is special. Everyone is unique. Everyone is, in some ways, the last of their kind. The only one of them, you know, each of you is the only one of you in the entire universe, exactly as you are. And yes, I know there's a lot of people who believe in multiple universes and multiple dimensions and all that stuff. And yep, I'm one of them. And even if there was another you in another dimension, they would not have had your exact experiences. And they wouldn't be you in this reality. So yes, each of you is the only you there is in the universe. And each person who comes after you is the only one of them. And whether it's a child in our lives, whether it's someone, a friend we're helping through a really hard time that they don't know how to make it through, whether it's our profession and we choose to, you know, live our lives in helping and assisting others, when we look at, you know, what do we want for our children? What do we want for our friends? What do we want for our students and our clients and our patients? We want them to move forward with confidence. We want them to be able to step into whatever path is their path in the best possible way they can. And if we do it right, we want them to exceed us. I was told once by my teacher, you know, back when I first started doing this work, and all I could think of was that I wanted to be like him. And he looked at me, and it was as if he knew what I was thinking in that moment, because he looked at me and very softly said, "You will exceed anything that I am capable of." And that idea terrified me. It's like, wait a minute, all I can think of is to work my whole entire life to be at your level. Now you're telling me that I'm going to exceed it? I didn't even conceive that, you know, what could be on the other side of that. And it was very important for me to hear that at the beginning of my work, because then it became the programming, it became the paradigm. And at those times that I was scared about moving forward, you know, that was in the back of my mind. No, this is what my potential is. And when I work with students, that is what I pass on to them, that they will exceed me in whatever way they choose. And it's important that, you know, while I share my experiences and, you know, as many of you do. Now, you know, keeping in mind that not everybody wants to listen to it. And especially with our children. They, you know, you know what? I went through this and I know how this is going to turn out, and they don't believe you because we didn't believe our parents when they said it. And I honestly, you know, felt that the older I got, the smarter my parents got. It's like, wow, they really did know what they were talking about. But at the time, no. And it's not necessary, because the other part of that, passing the torch, you pass the torch, but then you don't tell them how to run after that. It's like, okay, here's how you hold the torch, here's how you do this. You give them what you can give them, but then you've got to let go. You have to step back and let them run that part of the race the way that they feel they need to, the way that feels right to them. And it may not be a way that we agree with. You know, I've been told many times, it's like, well, I try to talk to them and they don't listen. They don't listen. It's like, you know what? Don't believe that they didn't. They may not have listened, but they heard. And somewhere a seed was planted. And yes, maybe they've got to go through and, you know, do it the hard way. We all know those who it's like, really, really, it's laid out. You've been told how this is going to go, but you want to go ahead and do it the hard way. But maybe that's the way that they need to do it. Maybe that's the way that they need to process it. Because then when they pass this knowledge on, when they pass this experience on to their next generation, they're going to go, you know what? I went through it. I was told this. I didn't listen, but I did it anyway. And this is how it went. And it really is important to remember that each of us have our own path. Each of us have our own way. And whether or not those ways, you know, resonate with us, you know, somebody could take what I teach them and say, well, I want to do it this particular way. It's like, well, God bless. Good luck. You know, I hope it works out. Because it's not about, well, I want my way passed down the way that I pass it down, and you've got to do it this way. Now, that goes back to our difference between ceremony and ritual. With one, it is, you know, by rote, it is every time exactly the same. And, you know, that normally that's for ritual. Now, in the Wiccan tradition, that's actually reversed, that ritual is more free form. But in many other traditions, ritual is, you know, like the way that a mass is done. You could go anywhere in the world and sit down, go into a Catholic church, and even if you don't understand the language, you know basically all of what's going on. That's ritual. And if you're passing down a ritual, well, yeah, there's definitely some leeway in wanting someone to follow the recipe. Now, ceremony means that you have a basic goal and you figure out a way to manage that, but it's very free form, it's very organic. Often, you know, when, let's say somebody is handing down a recipe, okay, you do this, you do that, and you do this, and this is how long it bakes, and this is how many cups of this is how many cups of that. And I like that. I definitely feel a lot more comfortable if everything is all laid out and I want to know exactly how much of this and how much of that. And my work was to be able to not be so locked in and think that, okay, if I do all the things right, if I follow the recipe exactly, I will get these exact results. And that's not true. Sometimes you don't. And it's frustrating. It's like, wait a minute, I did all the stuff that was passed down to me, and it didn't come out right. It didn't come out the same. Well, there's a lot of variety in things, and there's a lot of things that shift, and there's a lot of things that are very organic when we don't even think they are. So it's really difficult for me. And, you know, I have folks who are really working on teaching me how to be a better cook. I'm really good at heating up stuff, but, you know, cooking, not so much. I've got a few things I've got. But the idea that they keep telling you, it's like, well, no, it's like, well, how much of this, how much of that? No, just feel for it. You know, kind of, you know, yeah, it's about this much, and they'll have some in their hand, and in my mind, I'm trying to calculate it, and they can tell it. No, just don't worry about that. You know, you'll taste it. So the idea of being passed down something that is very organic, the intention is that the person will take it and make it their own. Maybe they'll tweak it a little bit. Maybe it won't taste exactly like the final product, but it'll still taste really good. And to be able to give someone the gift of saying, okay, here's the basic recipe, now run with it. And, you know, do what you want. And mess it up. You know, maybe you guess, it's like, you know what, I'm going to cook it a little longer and it burns. Or, well, I'm going to, you know, put this spice in and it doesn't, you know, taste right. The whole point is to allow each person to be able to claim their own autonomy, to be able to claim their own balance by being allowed the opportunity to take something being given to them and kind of mess with it. And that's really hard to do, because when you're watching, it's like, wait a minute, that's not what I told you. You know, how often it's like, that's not how I told you to do it. It's like, yeah, but it's what felt right for them. So, you know, whether it's a young person, whether it's you know, a peer, a colleague, and even in some cases, teachers. And, you know, those who were ahead, we can still be a part of that torch passing, because it may be something that they didn't know. And it's tremendously cool to be able to, you know, develop something, get the foundations to build something, and then to be able to say, you know what, here is what I did with what you shared with me. Isn't it cool? Don't you love it? And it's wonderful to have someone look at you and go, wow, I had no idea you could create that with what I gave you. And that's the coolest part, by letting, you know, the next generation be able to make something really cool that we didn't even think about, and letting them move forward with it and watching that whole process of evolution, because it's all about us all moving forward together. And I, you know, really honor all those who are teaching, all of those who, you know, take care of children, who take care of elders, who take care of others, and who make it their life's work to help others to move forward by passing the torch. Because what you're passing is the dream and the possibility. And once you see someone realize what the possibilities are and what the dreams are, then they can take that and build on it. And it's a very, very cool thing to watch. But it only comes to pass when we pass the torch. It becomes a reality when we take those things and allow someone else to gain strength and wisdom from it. So I encourage you, each and every one of you, find some way, something that you do, and find someone who you can pass that torch on to. And once you let it go, see what they do with it, because it's usually something pretty cool. And even if you're not sure it's pretty cool, let them run with it anyway. Because, you know, that's what it's all about, because those were the torches that were passed to us that we made our own. And as we consider, you know, the responsibility for the next 7 generations, you wonder what that simple little offering will be after 7 generations. So I want to thank you all for sharing this time with me. And before we finish, I've got a couple of things that I would like to share.
couple of weeks ago, I had Amber Dean, who was on the show talking about a teleseminar that she was going to be doing. Well, she has it scheduled for Wednesday, September 13th, from 12 to 1 p.m., and it's called My Mom is Driving Me Crazy. And so she will be doing this teleseminar to talk about improving the relationships with moms. And in this interactive teleseminar, you'll learn to look at your relationship with your mom, learn why people can develop negative feelings about ourselves through that relationship, learn why we blame moms for problems, see how our problems and mom problems are intertwined, create the strong I want a harmonious relationship with mom intention, and discover how you can easily shift your perspective on the mom problem and receive a big surprise. So to register, go to anger@momndad.com /events/teleseminars and workshops2.com. Fill out the subscribe box and you'll be sent a link to join the teleseminar. So it's going to be a really nice one. So, you know, and if you're having, you know, issues in that relationship, this would be a great thing, and it's free. So enjoy. Also, I am teaching a Gifts of Druidry, the 7 Gifts of Druidry. It's an all-inclusive class weekend, and I've talked about it before. So basically, it's connecting with earth magic and druidic tradition. We will be starting up on Friday, October 12th, and it'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The price is, for all 3 days, is $150. And basically, you get to go through and learn about druidic tradition and to be able to have that as a part of your spiritual practices. It is a phenomenal way of being, and my favorite part about it is that it talks about and focuses on balance, balance in nature, balance in yourself, non-attachment, and it's usually the attachments that create most of the issues. So for those of you who are online, I will be in the chat room right after the show, and if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or whatever, you can ask me there. And if you would like to get a hold of me, you can connect with me through my website, www.the-healing-house.com. And you can also find out about some of the stuff I'm doing through the meetup group, meetup.com. And the group is called The Druids Grove. So you can connect with me there, and there are, you know, both email ways to connect with me and by phone. If you want to reach me by email, I'm at br.eileen, A-Y-L-E-E-N, at the-healing-house.com. And I will be talking with an amazing practitioner who has developed or is in the process of developing a new energetic healing modality. And working in that area myself, it's always great to connect up with other practitioners. So check in to the Blog Talk Radio schedule, which I will get updated by tomorrow, promise, with the rest of the month's activities. I want to thank, again, all of you for listening in, and for those of you who are listening at other times, whether it's Thursday at 2 or in different time zones, blessings to you. And I really hope that each one of you, in your own way, has been passed an amazing torch, and that you, in turn, take that, make that your own, and then offer it to the next generation and see what they make of it. Either way, it'll be interesting. So we will see you next week. This is Dr. Eileen at Healing House Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And I wish you a wonderful week, and we'll see you next Thursday at 2 p.m. And if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can do that. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.